You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Welcome to church today. Welcome to Hope Oakville. Welcome. I'm assuming there's people in overflow right now, maybe in a couple locations. Welcome to Orangeville. So glad to be together this weekend as well. I think you can see beside me, behind me up here, we begin a new series today. Start a new five-week series, very important, called Life on Mission. I love our tagline, From Saved to Sent. From saved to sent, the reality, the theological reality, every single person alive in Jesus Christ has been saved again for a purpose, to be sent for the things of the Lord. Let me say a few things as we begin this series. Again, the elders believe this is a series of priority, obviously, and really a paramount series as well for this church and for all people who call Hope Oakville their home. There's a ton of intentionality in this series, and there's also a lot of urgency in this series as well. In many, many ways, this is going to be our year-long theme as a church to continue to remind us that we are to be living lives on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my goals today, too, as an introductory message for this series, laying a foundation, is to be as clear as we possibly can. And so to do that and to get as many of us on the same page as possible right now, whether you're here, or again, Overflow, Orangeville, whatever it might be, let's look at a purpose statement, really, for our series together. I'm trying to bottom line this. And I want to make sure that we are on the same page. Here's our kind of purpose statement for the series. Every Christ follower at Hope Oakville has been saved by Christ and sent for Christ. Okay? So every, again, Christ follower at Hope Oakville who's genuinely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been born again, the Holy Spirit lives within you. Again, you were dead, now you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that. Obviously, you've been saved by Christ, and no exceptions, you've been sent for Christ. Also, God has strategically placed every one of us who is saved in Jesus Christ with divine purpose and to be on mission for Him. Again, I want to be clear. Every single Christ follower, you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has saved you to bless you, to be a blessing to others. You have been strategically, again, placed with purpose no matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter at school, home, neighborhood, marketplace, business, whatever it is. God has purposed you to do something only you can do that I can't do for you and you can't do for me. Again, that's unique. And then this, all Christ followers at Hope Oakville must embrace their calling towards life on mission. We find out today this is not a theological, again, negotiable. You don't get to go, well, maybe for you, but not for me. No. Every single person alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see today, God has saved you to send you. So what we like to do in moments and messages like this, we like to make excuses. And we like to rationalize. And we like to say, well, again, that's for someone else, but not for me. No. Bible open today. You're alive in Jesus Christ. God has chosen you, saved you, redeemed you, called you, and now desires to use you. So, very, very important series for us. Again, I want to be as clear as I can. All of us are here today alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, God is going to speak to us as He probably has started to do already. Let me say this also as we begin this series today. Many of you are beautifully living this out already. Many men and women and children in this church are wonderfully and beautifully right now living life on mission for Jesus Christ. I'm very, very, very encouraged by that. It's wonderful to see. I could look across this room right now again if I decided to and wanted to, and could point and tell stories of people saved by Christ and being currently sent for the Lord as well. But here's the vision really for this series. Some of us are doing this wonderfully, not perfectly, but wonderfully. What would happen if all of us who are genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, what would happen if all of us began to take seriously the call to live life on mission? What if all of us started to understand the theological reality of what Christ has placed in us by His Spirit and decided again to collectively, individually, and collectively go and be expectant for God to use us on a daily basis wherever we find ourselves to be? That gets pretty exciting. And listen, if that were to happen, I sincerely believe if all of us saved in Christ, who are saved in Christ, started to effectively and intentionally live life on mission, I believe our greater community would be changed.
the thousands of people that attend this church and the impact beyond that, if every single person woke up each day by God's grace and his strength and power to live life on mission, I believe our greater community would be changed and impacted. Again, let me say this. I'm so excited and thankful for 20 plus years of this happening. I'm so thankful for the way that you are being used by the Lord and this church, okay? But what if all of us at this stage would seek the Lord again in sincerity? How would that change again the lives that are around us? So today what we're going to do is we're going to lay a theological foundation for this series, and we begin with this sermon title, this message. It's this, Life on Mission, Our God is a Sending God. Our God is a sending God. Now think of it this way too, okay? This is good theology. The fundamental reason that we are on mission, okay, as Christ followers, is because our God is on mission. This is the heart of God. We're going to see this today. Our God is irrefutably on mission. He has been from the very, very beginning. So the big idea for our sermon today on the screen for you, lots of slides today, by the way, we're going to help you stay awake, okay? Our sermon, big idea today is this: you cannot theologically belong to Christ and not also be on mission. You cannot be genuinely saved by Jesus Christ and not be also on mission again for him. You don't separate those things. Some of you are going to try today. Some of you are already trying to make excuses. Some of you are trying to rationalize this out of that. No. That's for Pastor Boy up there and a couple elders or whatever it is and pastoral staff. But me, I get to sit on my spiritual couch and do nothing. Incorrect, okay? You do not get to use that excuse. That is impossible. If you're genuinely saved, now that's an important little point there. Not everyone here is genuinely saved. You're not genuinely saved. You got no Holy Spirit. You got no Holy Spirit. There's no fruit coming from your life, which is a whole another thing to consider. But every single person genuinely saved in Jesus Christ is automatically, theologically, again, spiritual reality, on mission with God. That's just how it works. It's who God is. And if we are becoming more like Christ, then it's who we are. You don't separate, again, being saved and being sent for the Lord. Again, I've been thinking about lots of different things this past week or past several weeks on this topic, knowing it's coming. And I thought, man, like this church is planted 2004, core group 2003. And I mean, we have done nothing perfectly. But you look back, and the moment God planted this church, we see the ministry, we see the expansion, we see the multiplication, we see the churches planted, we see the baptisms, we see the lives that are being changed, because that's what God does. He doesn't plant a church for it to sit there and become insular and just do this holy huddle and no one else gets to come in. No. The very DNA of the Holy Spirit within us, he begins something new when it's healthy and multiplies. That's what the church has done from the very beginning, and that's what it continues to do today. Listen, individually and corporately, that's such a blessing for me to look back and to say, God, of course, you began us again from another, again, work that you did. And here we are, and over the years, seeing and reflecting. But again, God's kingdom advancing. But how much more can God do? What if everyone got on board? What if everyone got excited? What if everyone started to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? What if everyone started smashing idols? What if everyone started to pick up their reality, their individual corporate calling in the Lord Jesus Christ? What if everyone started to get on mission for the Lord together? Exciting times. Now, easy? No. Easy is following the world. Easy is just building up your bank account for all self and stuff. That's easy. Hard and difficult is pursuing Jesus Christ against the reality of darkness and the enemy. And so that's why even as we begin right now, I mean, I know we're walking into enemy territory in a serious way. And I know that some of you already are building up, the enemy's whispering excuses and reasons why this doesn't apply to you. So this is why we have to pray. Have you noticed I haven't prayed yet? I've noticed. Have you noticed I'm about to pray right now? And listen, but here's what's going to happen. I'm not just going to pray. We're all going to pray. We're going to turn this into a little bit of a prayer meeting right now, okay? We're going to take 2 minutes. I know some of you get uncomfortable, but that's okay. You can pray by yourself. Overflow, Orangeville, wherever you are. I'm going to encourage you, though, because as we grow in Christ, we must pray. We must pray. I'm going to encourage you to pray out loud, okay? I'm going to encourage you to pray out loud. If you feel comfortable, I'm not going to force you, obviously. I'm going to encourage you, though, to do that. There's a prayer prompt on the screen I want you to see right now. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take 2 minutes, and I believe so much. Like, I pray, great, but when we all pray, wow. If we all pray this sincerely right now, and just basically, Father, teach us, fill us by your Spirit, what it means to live life on mission,
Father, transform us. Transform us as only you can during this series. Father, transform me, transform this church, Hope Oakville. We're going to take 2 minutes right now, okay? I'm encouraging you to pray out loud, and then I'll come up and I will close us off right now. Let's go prayer meeting. Let's go prayer meeting. Here we go. Let's pray. Let's pray together. So, Father, joy to hear people pray. I believe in the power of this moment. I believe in the power of this moment. I believe that we are, the enemy's terrified of this series. Can you imagine, church? The enemy's terrified. What if men, women, and children start to live this out? Wow. So he's fearful, and he will do everything he can to distract. So, in Jesus' name together, we say, Lord, deliver us from evil. Amen? Amen? Deliver us from evil, and may light shine as much as has ever shone through this church, individually and corporately as the people of God. Holy Spirit, we desperately need you. Oh, my goodness. We desperately need you. And so we beg you for you. Father, I believe you are pleased with what is happening because your word is so clearly saying that this is what you desire. And so we ask again that you will move. And I just pray you will meet individuals so wonderfully, and then you will build momentum as a church so beautifully. So we give this time, we give this series, this year to you. Again, we love to pray. So simple, but so beautiful. So help us now. Together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Great. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's encouraging as well. So this is where we start today. I told you, introductory message. Today is going to be a topical sermon as opposed to one passage and expositing that text. So a little bit different, but it's going to be immensely biblical today, but it is going to be topical, but I think very, very appropriate. I will be asking you to turn to a couple of passages, but I'm going to do, again, some of the lifting for you as well. So let's just start here today. Point number one is this. Our God is a God on mission. Our God, we have to, again, understand our God is a God on mission. I'm going to ask you to turn today to start to Genesis chapter 12. Again, topical message, unpacking this doctrine of our God is ascending God, looking really at the totality of Scripture. So tons of passages we'll be looking at. I'll ask you to turn to a couple. Genesis, obviously the first book in the Bible. Genesis 12, this is the call of God to Abram. And as we read this again, what I want us to see is notice the heart of God. Notice what God is intending to do, okay? And notice what he does. Okay, Genesis 12, verse 1 says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, soon to be Abraham, go from your country, go from your country, and your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you
and make your name great, notice, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. Notice this promise, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Okay, again, this is a fundamental passage of seeing that our God is a sending God. What do we learn from this text here? Well, first of all, notice that God came to a pagan named Abram and sent him to a foreign land. Okay, so again, what are we learning? God is the one who initiates the movement. God is sending. Like if you study this text, if you just saw Genesis 12, 1 to 3, what do we learn about God? God initiates, God is outward facing. This is what we're learning here from Genesis 12 as he shows up to Abraham and says, go, and he wants to bless. And notice we also learn that about our God. Our God again sends Abraham and promises that he would bless his descendants. So I want you to see this too. This is all throughout Scripture. This is the heart of what we learn today. God sends and he promises blessing. God sends to bless, right? So if you sit there and say, well, God, save me, he sends me. Oh man, the work and all the, you know, it's such a burden. No, you don't get it. God sends us to bless. He sends that we are blessed and then we are a blessing again to others and we become again blessed in the process. Notice this also from this text. God sent Abraham that his descendants, verse 3, look at, his descendants would ultimately, all the families of the earth would be blessed. I mean, that's a major, massive promise, the heart of God. And much in line with that too, we also know that Abraham's descendants, physical descendants, was Israel. The Bible commanded Israel to be a conduit of God's blessing to the nations. This is what's happening in Genesis chapter 12 here. I want you to see this too, okay? God sends with the heart, right from the start, of a global blessing. Because of the heart of our God, we are here right now, again, for the most part, Gentiles saved in Jesus Christ, indicated right here in these verses, God's heart to send, to bless for global blessing, which is ultimately fulfilled right here in his son, Jesus Christ, right? This is what's happening. The heart of our God is a sending God. Our God is a sending God. He sends to save. He sends to bless. He sends to redeem. And this is ultimately fulfilled, as I just said, again, in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mission this is right here when God again appears to Abram and says, go. From you, Abram, and spiritually descending now, all the families of the earth shall be blessed because this ultimately is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we start to unpack this biblical theology, this systematic and biblical theology of ascending God. I couldn't resist this. I kind of came across this. I love this so much. So this is biblical theology, and this is a biblical theology which is tracing the historical theology of God is ascending God through Scripture, okay? This is a snapshot, just a couple seconds here, but I love it. I want you to love it too, okay? We're learning the Bible's one book. So our God is ascending God. Creation. Man and woman created, sent to fill and multiply the earth, ultimately, again, for the glory of God. They are go out, fill earth, multiply, to reflect God's glory. Israel is sent, again, as a light to the nations. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sent one. Jesus Christ sent from the Father to redeem, to save the world from sin. The church then is sent into the world by Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to see the kingdom of God advance. I mean, all through Scripture, our God is ascending God. I love this too. This was insightful for me as well. Eternity. Think of eternity. God sends his son once. That has happened. God will soon send his son again. Amen. Amen. That's going to be a pretty great day for those of us saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Best day ever, right? And why does Jesus Christ get sent again? He comes to gather his own from every tribe, tongue, and nation that will reflect God's heart to send, to save, to redeem, to gather, and then to be with them forever and ever. You look at the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, our God is a sending God. And the heart of our God to send is that he might save. Powerful, beautiful, and awesome.
I got a few more verses that I want us to see here too. Again, different day. We're kind of building a foundation. We're going through systematic, again, scriptures. I pray it's encouragement to you. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Let's go 10:30. Let me hear those pages turn. Encourage your neighbor. Guilt trip them. Pressure them. Whatever it takes. Okay. Get them to turn. Here we go. Okay. Exodus 3. Again, I will do a lot of the lifting for you after this, but I'm going to ask you to turn here because it's right next door to Genesis. Okay. Genesis chapter 3. Again, we know the context. This is Israel enslaved in Egypt. This is Israel horribly oppressed, again, by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. God is not indifferent to their suffering. His timing is not theirs, but he is not indifferent. And God sends, in the midst of such hardship, he sends. Look at Exodus 3:10. Again, symbol here, also on the screen for you. Come, I will send you, Moses, to Pharaoh. Why? That you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Notice our God is a sending God. Okay, why does God send here? He sends to save. Abraham is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The picture, again, him, families being blessed. And then Moses, real story, real person, real salvation again from slavery to Egypt, but foreshadowing the ultimate fulfillment, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ to set people free from their sins. Jesus Christ to break us out of the prison cells and enslavement of sin. Jesus Christ is sent. Our God is a sending God. Abraham, Moses. We also hear this in the book of Malachi. I'll turn there for you, okay? You don't have to now. You can thank me later, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 on the screen for you. This is a prophecy of John the Baptist, okay? What does God say? Behold, I send my messenger. Our God is a sending God. He's ascending God. Our God is on mission. He is on mission. Why does he send John the Baptist? He sends John the Baptist to prepare the way for the ultimate sent one, Jesus Christ. Our God's on a mission, man. He's sending people all over the place because he is sending to save. He is on mission again to redeem. And what's the point I want us to meditate on? It's this. Sending is not just what our God does. Sending is who he is. I'll say it again. Sending is not just what our God does. Sending is who he is. The heart of our God is to send, right? Because our God is a God on mission. His mission is to save. Another powerful example of this is the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 6, verse 8. On the screen for you here, the verses. So this is the throne room vision that Isaiah has. This incredible, in some ways, unparalleled vision of God's holiness and his sovereign rule and his righteousness. And Isaiah is melting in the vision of God's holiness. And in this throne room vision, God speaks. And here's what God says first from this incredible picture in Isaiah 6. God says this. He says, whom shall I send? Of all the things he could say, this is what he says. And whom shall I send and who shall go for us? And then Isaiah says, here I am, send me, trembling, can barely speak. Here I am, send me. And then God says, notice, the next thing he says, whom shall I send? And he says, go, because our God is a sending God. Why? Because our God is a God on mission. He's on a mission to save. He's on a mission to redeem. I want you to notice one more thing in this verse too, which will lead us to where we're going next. God says, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? Why is that significant? That's a reference to the Trinity. That's indicating the reality of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, us in plural. And that leads us to our second point then here right now, which is this. The Trinity by nature is sending. The Trinity by nature is sending. Some of you are like, what do you mean by that, Robbie? What do you mean? Well, think. Ready? The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Ready? And the Son and the Spirit send the disciples and the church into the world. The Trinity by nature is sending. He is always sending. Let's just break that down then on the screen beside me and behind me. Let's break this down one at a time. Let's understand that the Father sends the Son. The Father sends the Son. If there's ever proof that God is a sending God, it's the proof that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. He sent his only Son.
If you look at John 3:16 again on the screen, notice, for God, I just said it, for God so loved the world, he gave. He gave means he sent. He sent as a gift, but he sent his son to earth, what, to die for the sins of humanity. Look also at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, again, this is Jesus talking. He says, for the works the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing bear witness about me, what? That the Father has sent me. The Father is ascending God. He sends his Son. And the Father who sent me has himself bore witness about me. Then we have Galatians chapter 4. Again, the Father sends the Son. This is the verse of the incarnation. This is a verse speaking to Christmas. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God sent forth his Son. The Father sends the Son. The Trinity by nature is sending. Let's break down the second part of that. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Again, we're looking at Scripture. It's beautiful and wonderful. John 14. Look at John 14. This is Jesus talking now. Jesus says to his disciples, but the Helper, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring remembrance of what I have said to you. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John 15 now. John 15, when the Helper, Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Again, the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. John 16 now. John 16 again, about the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you this truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, Jesus says. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, ascend to heaven, Jesus says, I will send him. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Okay? The Father sends the Son. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Again, because our God is a God on mission. He's ascending God. Now let's understand this, okay? The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Why? We, as born again, genuine Christ followers, saved by grace through faith. We are saved, we are made alive, we have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, not to sit around and make us feel good. We receive the Holy Spirit to fulfill our mandate in Him, right? If you need proof of that, Acts 1:8 on the screen for you. Acts 1:8, Jesus says and promises again the church, you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You will represent me because the Holy Spirit fills you. But notice, where? Well, not on your couch. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That means you're going. I'm sending. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, Father and Son, giving you the Holy Spirit to live within you that you might go, that you are sent. You are saved to be sent for the Lord Jesus Christ. The power we are given is to be used, again, that we are sent to the ends of the earth. And that's what the church has been doing, again, when it's been faithful ever since the very beginning. So, the Father sends the Son. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. And now, really, the Father, Son, and Spirit send the church. Send the church into the world. Jesus speaking to his disciples after his resurrection on the screen for you. Lots of verses. I'm trying to overwhelm you with biblical content today. Praise the Lord. John 20, verse 21. Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, beautiful verse, even so I am sending you. It's hard to get out of that one. Why would you want to get out of that one? It's beautiful. And then we have, of course, the Great Commission itself. In Great Commission, in Matthew 28, 19, Jesus emphatically says, go, go. He says, go. Doesn't say sit around. Doesn't say pause. He emphatically states, go. So insightful for me, and I pray for you. Our God is ascending God. The Trinity by nature is sending. But here's the kicker. Here's the beautiful application and conviction. If this is who God is, and if we are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 3, if our sanctification, big word in theology, just to mean that we are growing more and more like Jesus Christ, if we are increasingly taking on the heart of Jesus Christ and looking more like Him, and if our God is ascending God, therefore we also then, also, our DNA is that we are sent for Him. I'm going to say this strongly to you. It is theologically impossible to not also by nature, again, to be sent for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, because it's in our DNA. It's who we look like. It's who we are. It's what we are to do. Let me say our big idea one more time today. You cannot genuinely belong to Jesus Christ and not be on mission. You cannot. It's hereditary. It's in our genes, right? That's what's exciting about this. I want to kind of double click on that for a second, okay? Because the reality is, there's people here right now, again, in a room this size and overflow and the people watching, whatever it is, right? You've been making excuses for a long time as to why this doesn't apply to you. I'm not afraid to push your buttons in this regard. And I'm not afraid to come after your heart because this is what God wants to do too. Listen, you have not been saved to sit around and do nothing. You've not been saved to sit around and just, we'll hear in a second, just digest everything for you and just become some overweight spiritual person that does nothing with what they've been given, okay? That's not going to glorify God, and this is what we're learning here within this series right now. He has saved you because he desires to use you. More to come on that in just a couple of seconds. But think about it this way too, okay? So this is precisely why the closer our church is drawn to Jesus Christ, the more intimately we are in relationship with him individually and as a church, then what happens? Then more and more we find ourselves irresistibly on mission for him. That's how beautiful this is. The closer we draw, again, to Jesus Christ, then the more and more we find ourselves naturally on mission for him. We cannot help it because it's the Holy Spirit, again, living through us and in us. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So we think about this again within our church. Think about it. All the ministries, all the church plants, praise God, all the compassion, all the services, all the outreach, all the prayer, all the baptisms, all the equipping, all the classes. I mean, everything is leading up to what? Evangelism and healing and multiplication and renewal and growth and kingdom expansion with the heart to see people redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like that's just what happens as we draw closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are living out our DNA. Right? We are living out our DNA, who God has made us. Again, if you're here right now and you're genuinely alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit right now, if you have any spiritual heartbeat, the Holy Spirit's like, amen. The Holy Spirit's like, amen, bro. Again, we never know if he says bro or not. We're not quite sure, right? But he says, amen, sister or child, right? He's like, listen, because this is what I have for you, right? This is the reality. Again, every single one of us alive in Jesus Christ right now, are you feeling conviction? Great. You should. So do I. If you sit here and you're hearing all this and it's like dead and you're like, meh, I'm worried for you, bro. I can say bro. I'm worried for you, bro or sister. If you're sitting here and you're like, I don't care, that's a very bad sign. That's a very bad sign of any genuine life in Jesus Christ. But if you are sitting here and you're like, okay, I agree. And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, we agree. That's a great sign. And that's a sign, again, the Lord, again, working in me, working in you, and wanting to speak to us because that is the DNA that we have, again, for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty exciting. And again, let me say this again. Many of you right now are being so powerfully used. Many. I don't know what percentage it is. Just, you know, somebody's thinking about that this week and stuff. How many of us? Well, not enough. I know that. And by the way, just by way of encouragement, so obviously I hear all the baptisms in you know, each month, and I'm so thankful for that. Recently as last week, and then the previous one to that too, I've noticed so many people, I'll just paraphrase, in one way or another, they're like, I was searching, I was lost, I was miserable, and then a friend invited me to hope. And then a friend invited me to hope. And then a friend shared with me the gospel. And then a friend loved me in Jesus Christ. And I'm listening to that, I'm just like, man, ding, 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 ding. That's people living life on mission right there. That is people in our church being used, and you're being used to the extent that others are finding Jesus Christ and saved forever and will spend eternity with you, again, in the presence and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an awesome way to live. And I'm listening, and I'm like, wow, people are responding. People in our church are responding. What if we all did that? What if we all sought to be used in one way or another to live on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ? That is exciting, and that is what we are seeking to drum up and to pray ourselves into a place of power in the Lord. So let's just go to point number three then, and we'll kind of, this is our final point. It's this. Hey, Christ follower, you've been sent. Hey, Christ follower, you haven't figured that out yet. You've been sent. Again, the Great Commission is the irrefutable evidence the Lord has sent us, right? Matthew 28:19 on the screen for you. Again, Jesus says, go, right? Go, again, not wait, not stop, not consider, not stretch, go, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I've been doing a lot of lifting for you scripturally in the last several minutes, but let's turn to one more text together, okay? Let's do this, Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Let's go. Romans chapter 10, continue to apply that pressure, and maybe you can help your neighbor find your way there too. Romans 10, verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. Let's hear those pages turning. If you have a phone, I'll try not to. Never mind. Romans 10, I'm just glad you have scripture. So Romans 10, 13. Nothing like the real thing, eh, Mike? Nothing like the real thing. There we go, bro. Yeah. Romans 10, 13. He's got it highlighted already. Awesome. Okay. So look at the promise Paul says here. Romans 10, 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that great? Like, that's a promise. Amen. Everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. But notice what Paul does next, though. He's like, wait a second. Verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Yes. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. All right, here's part of our vision right here. Look up here. We want more people than ever to have beautiful feet in Jesus Christ. We want more and more people to have beautiful feet. People that are walking forward with the gospel. Again, the temptation, and I've been pastor of this church from the beginning, seen a lot. The temptation right now is for you to say, well, Robbie, that's your job. And that's the elder's job. And that's the pastor's job. And that's the leader's job. And that's Mike Marchese's job, whatever. And then, No. That's a theological error. Right now, we got to back this up and say, listen. It's all of our jobs. Because if you've been saved in Jesus Christ, you've been blessed. And if you've been blessed, then you've been sent to be a blessing to others. Because you get to places I will never, ever get to. You have opportunities our elders will never be able to duplicate. You are placed exactly where you are at this time to be light, to be salt for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point. So again, the temptation for many of us is to get out of this and try to ignore God's will by making excuses and placing it on a few people over there somewhere. No. All of us are called to go forward with the gospel and to love. And again, the application for this series is going to be fleshed out in detail over the next 4 weeks. But we must not allow ourselves the excuse to say this does not apply to me if we are genuinely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's why Tim Keller, he says this. I'll just read it for you. This is why then the church does not simply have a missions department. The church wholly exists to be a mission. See, that's an important distinction. We don't just have a mission. And by the way, when you go life on mission, people, what they want to do, and myself included, you want to just go to a narrow stream. Well, life on mission solely means evangelism. It does mean evangelism. It's more than evangelism, though. Or life on mission solely means missions and missions trips. It does mean that, but it's more than that. Life on mission is wherever I am, every conversation and light and compassion, a tool of redemption and renewal, wherever I find myself. This is life on mission holistically is awesome and beautiful. All of us have a part to play. Yes, evangelism. Yes, missions. Yes, compassion. All of the above together seeking again to be used of Jesus Christ to make a difference where we are. This is what we have to see. And this is what we will unpack again in the weeks to come. Again, so awesome. Think about it too, right? Just really important theology. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, okay? So listen. It always like boggles my mind. So where does the fruit come from, the trunk or the branches? The branches, yes. So the fruit, by God's design, is through us. God doesn't send fruit through the vine, not directly. He sends fruit, again, the vine strengthens, nourishes, and brings all the sap and nutrients, but the branches are what actually bear the fruit. The church is the vehicle to fulfill the mission of God. God's on a mission, and he wants to use you as his branch to bear fruit for him. And he wants to use us as his church to bear fruit for him. It's God's infinite wisdom design. Amazing. So you've been given a life in Jesus Christ. He wants to bear fruit through you and me. It's worth like just sitting on that and thinking about that, because I think we often get our theology wrong.
And listen, as a Christ follower, God has called you to bless you. Why? Again, because he wants you to be a blessing to others. So listen, we cannot hoard. We cannot hoard. We must herald. And major point of application, I'll say this to you, okay? Some are here and have been here for too long, and you have only been a spiritual consumer. You come, you get your needs met, you go home, and nothing happens until the next Sunday when you repeat that process. Maybe you come every Sunday. If you are here to be a spiritual consumer, you are outside of the will of God. Let me say it again. Listen, I'm not afraid to ruffle some feathers. You cannot sit here and just be fed and digest and do nothing. You are outside of God's will. That is not okay. Overflow, not okay. Orangeville, not okay. Whoever's listening right now, not okay. Not okay. You cannot sit here in the back row or whatever row you're in and just be fed or whatever, come in here and then do nothing. You got to hear today. If you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not okay. You have been saved for more. Ephesians 2:10, again, Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Sorry to talk so fast. Trying to sign over there must be impossible. Okay? But listen, we are created. We are created by God for his workmanship. Created before, again, the foundations of the world which God prepared beforehand. You cannot sit here and just consume. You cannot sit here and sit on the bench and never get in the game. Again, I'm telling you, that has to change. And I trust me, the Holy Spirit right now is saying amen as well. The Holy Spirit's like, yep. You have not been saved to sit there. You've been saved to be sent. And again, so many of you, it's happening. It's so awesome. I think about the expansion that God is using in so many lives. You've been saved, and God is multiplying life through you. It's so awesome. More of that. More of that. So we cannot be spiritual consumers. We're created to be a mission for God. Listen, so what does this mean? Well, super briefly, it means every staff meeting, every team huddle, every classroom, every cubicle, every neighborhood, every walk to school, every hospital visit, every friendship, every Uber ride, every interaction with the poor, every business trip, every, you have been placed by there uniquely by the Lord to be salt and light to the world around you. Easy? No. Possible? 100%. Exciting? Yes. You've been sent as an agent of redemption if you're alive in Jesus Christ. So, do you want purpose? Live as sent. You want misery? Live for self and sin. You want misery? Live for self. You want purpose and joy? Live as sent. Man, the joy of joining God on mission, eh? It's just so true. Is there anything more thrilling than knowing that you are in the will of God, serving the purposes of God? It's way harder than the other side of that. Way harder, but it's so thrilling and wonderful. And this is why the Lord obviously commands it from us. Again, there's so much we can say right now, and that's what the weeks to come will involve, but maybe right now we just take a moment. Let's just take a moment and quiet our hearts. Maybe just bow our heads. We can just try to be still where we are as we are about to prepare for the Lord's Supper. But let's just take a moment right now and just ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? I pray it's so obvious. Maybe it's just still where we are. Holy Spirit, would you renew me again to live life on mission for you? Holy Spirit, I've made excuses for too long. I repent. I ask now for the truth of God to reign in me. I ask for the love of God to be seen through me. I ask for the power of God to be displayed through me. Maybe you're like me and you say, Lord, would you do a fresh work of love in my heart, in my life, in the days and weeks to come? Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you use this church in a profound way to be used of you, to live on mission? We have been saved not to sit still. We've been saved to be sent, to be a blessing to the world around us. And just with heads bowed, I want you to consider this now as we transition to the Lord's Supper. So we are saved and we are sent. I just want you to reverse that for a second. We are sent, listen, because we are saved. And listen, we are only saved because Jesus Christ was sent. We have no hope unless Jesus Christ was sent. Today, for those of us alive in Jesus Christ, we're going to hold symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now think about it, loved ones. As we hold the symbols, we are holding the symbols that remind us our God is ascending God. We hold the symbols that remind us our God is a God on mission. We hold the symbols to remind us that God sent his Son to die in our place, that God sent his Son to become a propitiation, to bear the wrath of God in our stead. We hold the symbols to remind us God sent his Son to redeem us and reconcile us when we are separated from God. We hold the symbols to remind us that Jesus Christ was sent as forgiveness, to give us forgiveness of sins and to ransom us from sin and Satan, to pay the price to purchase our freedom. We hold the symbols today that remind us our God is a sending God. And the reason he sends is to save. And because we are saved, then now we have purpose and life and joy and meaning. All because our God is a God on mission. The Trinity by nature is sending. And we now have the joy of understanding that we belong to him. And we receive the symbols, listen, with the expectation that Father will soon send his Son again to gather us to him forever and ever. It is a wonder to celebrate the Lord's Supper again today with a fresh perspective that our God is a sending God. And for that, we are immensely grateful. Immensely grateful. Communion service, you can come forward right now and you can prepare to distribute from your stations. Father, I ask that you will use this time in a beautiful way. And I pray that you are working in us in also a wonderful way of what is most important and what you have for us in our lives. Please, Lord, we pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you, the Lord's Supper is for those who are saved in Jesus Christ, genuinely saved. If you are not genuinely saved, please don't take this. The Bible says do not trifle. It's very clear. We should not trifle with the Lord's Supper and communion. But if you are not saved in Jesus Christ, wow, you have so much to think about today and to consider where you are. The cups are stacked. We'll take the body or the bread and the juice stacked. We'll hold them and we'll take them together in just a few moments.